Gospel of John, chapter 1. You typically think of the Gospel of John, you don't think of a Christmas message, but Jesus Christ came into the world to save sinners. He was light. And John chapter 1 talks about that light. And I'd like to bring you a message this morning entitled Illuminating the Darkness. Darkness is the absence of light. Genesis 1:2 tells us that darkness was upon the face of the deep. Darkness, by definition, obscurity, a want of clearness. I may say, hey, I just feel I'm in the dark. Renders a thing difficult to understand. Could be intellectual cloudness, just dark, in a dark place. Could be ignorance. John chapter 3, verse 19, men love darkness rather than light. That's purposeful ignorance because their deeds are evil. Could be utter darkness, as in Matthew chapter 22, verse 13, they cast into outer darkness, sweeping and wailing and gnashing of teeth. But Jesus Christ in John chapter 1 came to illuminate the darkness. Illumination. Again, the title, Illuminating the Darkness. We've defined darkness. Well, let's define illumination. Illumination is the act of rendering luminous. You look on, you go to the store and you look at lights and you find lumens. How bright is it? The act, illuminating, the act of supplying with light, and that is Jesus Christ. Let's begin at verse 1. In the beginning was the Word, and the Word was with God, and the same, and the Word was with God, and the Word was God. The same was in the beginning with God. All things were made by Him. Without Him was not anything made that was made. In Him was life, and the life was a light of men. And the light shineth in darkness, and the darkness comprehended it not. There was a man sent from God, whose name was John. The same came for a witness, to bear witness of the light. You notice in your Bible, light is capitalized. It's a reference to Jesus Christ. That all men, through Him, Jesus Christ, might believe. He was not that light, John, was not God. And again, light is capitalized. He, John, was not that light, God, but was sent to bear witness of that light. Again, capitalized, talking about Jesus Christ. That was a true light which lighteth every man which that cometh into the world. I was witnessing to a man yesterday, and he made the comment that it just seemed wrong that God would send a person to hell who has never been exposed to the light. You notice that verse, that lighteth every man that cometh into the world. So I recently was talking to a young man, and as I talk to people, I say, hey, share with me your testimony when you come to know Christ. Yesterday I was in Lowe's, and one of the employees engaged him in conversation, and I said, do you know Jesus Christ? Have you come to the light? And he said that he had, and I asked him to describe that to me. When did you come to the light? It was probably a month ago, and I engaged a man, and I said, so tell me your testimony. He said, basically, I was in darkness, and he had no Bible background, no church background. The closest he could get was his grandparents were Roman Catholic, but he had never been exposed to the gospel. And he was probably in his late 20s, and he began. He said, you know, there has to be more than to this world, to more to life than just living and dying. And he said, so I started to search, and I found the Bible, and I found that there were many Bibles. And which Bible do I choose? And so he did his research, and I found the King James Bible, and he was convinced that that was truth, and I'll just say it is. And so he found that truth, and he found the gospel. Why? That light was in him. Lighteth every man that cometh into the world. Verse 10, he was in the world, and the world was made by him. Now, that's a problem for those that believe that Jesus Christ came into existence in Bethlehem, that he was a created being. The world was made by him. and the world knew him not. He came unto his own, and his own received him not. But as many as received him, to them gave he power to become the sons of God, even to them that believe on his name, which were born not of blood, nor of the will of the flesh, nor of the will of man, but of God. And the Word was made flesh. Jesus Christ is the Word. The Word was made flesh in Bethlehem and dwelt among us, and we beheld his glory. The glory of the only begotten of the Father, full of grace and truth. John bare witness of him, as we do, and cried, saying, "This was he of whom I spake. He that cometh after me is preferred before me, for he was before me. And of his fullness have all we received, and grace for grace. For the law was given by Moses, but grace and truth came by Jesus Christ. No man hath seen God at any time. The only begotten Son, which is the bosom of the Father, he hath declared him." And this is a record of John. If you will, you can go to a courthouse and you can have a certified copy of a court record testimony. And this is the record of John. When the Jews sent priests and Levites from Jerusalem to ask him, "Who art thou?" And he confessed and denied not, but confessed, "I am not the Christ." Now, why is he confessing that? Because they thought that he was the Christ. Is this the Christ? What does that tell you? It tells it that they were looking for the Christ. They knew the Christ was going to come. John was born about the same time as Jesus Christ. John very clearly says, "I am not that light." And he points to Jesus Christ as that light. And they say unto him, "What, art thou Elias?" And he say, "I am not. Art thou that prophet?" And he answered, "No." And they said unto him, "Who art thou, that we may give an answer to them that sent us? What sayest thou of thyself?" He said, "I am the voice of one crying in the wilderness, make straight the way of the Lord, as said the prophet Isaiah." And they which were sent were of the Pharisees. And they asked him and said, "Why baptizest thou then, if thou be not that Christ, nor Elias, neither that prophet?" John answered them, saying, "I baptize with water, but there standeth one among you whom ye know not. He it is who, coming after me, is preferred before me, whose shoe latchet I am not worthy to unloose. These things were done in Bethlehem, or Beth Abara, beyond Jordan, where John was baptizing." The next day, so they're coming to John. "Are you the Christ? Because we're looking for the Christ. You know the Christ is supposed to come. You're filling the timeline when the Christ is here. You're preaching, you're baptizing, you've got to be that Christ." And John says, "The next day seeth Jesus coming unto him, and saith, Behold the Lamb of God, which taketh away the sin of the world. This is he of whom I said yesterday, after me there cometh a man which is preferred before me, for he was before me, and I knew him not. But that he should be made manifest to Israel, therefore am I come baptizing with water. John bare record, saying, I saw the Spirit descending from heaven like a dove." And he clearly points to Jesus Christ as the light. But they were in darkness, and they preferred darkness, because their deeds were evil, to kill the light, kill Jesus Christ, Son of God. Father, I pray that you speak to our hearts this morning, and that we would be encouraged to walk in the light as you are in the light, and have fellowship one with another. For the blood of our Lord Jesus Christ has cleansed us from sin. We should walk in the light. Help us to do that. Help us to be motivated to be a light shining, reflecting the light of our Savior, pointing people to the true light, Jesus Christ. We'll thank you for what you do this morning as we pray and praise you in Jesus Christ's name. Amen. We should be that light. Yesterday morning, I was waiting to meet a gentleman about the topic of salvation. While I was there waiting, I was in a McDonald's, and there was a fella standing next to me, older gentleman, about my age. He was of Oriental descent, and he said, do you come here often? And it was not a McDonald's that I go to often. Very seldom, as a matter of fact. I said, no. I said, but I like their senior coffee. He said, you can get coffee for 89 cents. And he looked at me and he said, are you a senior? I like the guy already. I said, yes, absolutely, I am a senior. And he was a little bit more senior than I was senior. And then I asked him the question, are you going to engage the preacher in a conversation? You know, we're gonna go to the gospel. I pulled out a gospel track, and I said, here's some good news of salvation. I said, I'm the pastor at Lighthouse Baptist Church. I point people to the light. And he said, oh, the pastor. And I looked on back. We found a box after we ordered the last set of gospel tracts that had a new older preacher on the back as opposed to the young preacher that was on there. We found one with the young preacher still on there, and so we're going through those right now. I pulled out a picture with the young preacher on there, and I said, this is a younger version of myself. And he smiled. And I said, do you go to church? And he was like, anywhere? And he goes, oh, no, I don't go to church. And I said, you are just the guy I'm looking for. What? To expose to the light. That's what we're supposed to do. We're supposed to be doing what John did. Soul winners. That's what we do. We render a house, illuminating, to render a house or a town light. And that's Webster's 1828 textbook dictionary. To illuminate is to render a house or a town light. And we are supposed to, as soul winners, bring a light, illuminate the room, whether that be a house. Miss Bishop and I come home, and she's got these little light candles in all the windows. Because she likes light. And that's not just at Christmas time. That's like 24 hours a day, 365 days a year. She wants lights in the window. When you come home and the house is dark, she says, oh my, the house is dark. Dark. She wants light. And the first thing you do when you go into a house, what do? You flip the switch and you illuminate that. When we walk in a room, we should illuminate the room. Our church, our gathering, are as people. The church is not a building. You are the church. We should illuminate our town. We should. What is that light? Who is that light that will illuminate the darkness? John tells us that light is Jesus Christ. And today, I think we would all agree the world is in darkness, and the world is in dire need of the light. We're shadows. We live in a world where shadows seem to be stronger than light. It should cause us to have a heightened awareness of what is going on around us. When last night, before the teen activity, I was in my office. I'll pick on Merrick Monday for a second. Merrick Monday was with Briggs, and they were working on practicing for the Christmas program on some of the instruments. And then Merrick said, hey, Pastor, do you need anything? And I said, I don't. And he walked out of the room and turned the lights off. Well, it was dark. So I came to my office, I turned the light off, and it was dark in the auditorium, and I thought, thanks for turning the lights off, friend. Thank you for doing that. But it caused me to walk very cautiously as I go through the obstacle course over here. And I can see the center aisle, but the platform is dark. And so I'm walking this way towards the center aisle, because I know where the center aisle is. And then there was, the steps were just light enough colored wood that I could tell, oh yeah, there's stairs here. And I went around this way before I fell on my face and broke my nose and had a Band-Aid across my face this morning. You say, that was, what was it doing? It was reflecting enough light from somewhere that I could see that there was an obstacle in front of me. You say, Pastor, I'm not a very bright light. You can reflect a little bit. And it causes us, again, to walk cautiously. So when the lights were off, I was like, let's see where we're going here. I tried to find my way through. Ms. Bishop and I were walking out of the church service maybe a week ago. maybe a week ago Sunday night. We walked out the door and we hit the sidewalk. In my field of vision, I saw a man all dressed in dark walking at the outer edge of the church parking lot. And I said to Mrs. Bishop, didn't see it, I said, walk slower. Walk slower. Why, we were in the dark. He was in the dark. He was dressed in the dark. I wasn't sure what his intentions were, but I wanted to make sure that Mrs. Bishop had a path to escape if there was a problem. And so she immediately slowed down. I don't know that she saw the guy right away. And then he took off across the park. I don't know if he was walking his dog or cutting through to the neighborhood deck behind. But it was dark, right? So you have a heightened awareness of your surroundings, which causes you, your radar, to go off and say, is there something out here that is going to cause me or my family harm? And so here we are, we're walking in the darkness. It should heighten our awareness to physical danger, to personal danger. Shadows of fear. The world suffers from shadows of loneliness. This is a desperate time. More suicides between Thanksgiving and the first of the year than they're heightened. They're at a higher rate than other times of the year. Why? Because people are lonely. They're without hope. They see shadows. Shadows not going to hurt them. Again, they're lonely. They're uncertain about the future, what is coming up in the new year. Maybe they've lost a loved one this past year, and the world to them is dark. And they need somebody to say, there is light. There is light. Hey, you can have light. Trying to think what night it was. Friday night. Choir was practicing, and I went over to Mr. Frank's house to work in his workshop on my Christmas gift that is for next Saturday, adult Christmas party next Saturday. You should be making your gift. Frank thought it was time for me to get started on mine, so he invited me to his workshop, and I went over there. Of course, the doors were locked, and I had to break in, and everything was dark, and but I know where the light is. And so I turned on the light switch, and then I needed to go out to the garage. I didn't have a flashlight, but I know where his flashlights are. And what did I do? I illuminated the way. And I thought, boy, I hope he doesn't have a gun, because I'm out here prowling in the dark with this flashlight going around his sheds, seeing what kind of stuff he's got. But what was the first thing I looked for? First thing I looked for was light. I want light. In the first century, Jesus Christ in Bethlehem brought light. He is the light that lighteth every man that cometh into the world. And what is going on at that time, that first century where Jesus Christ came to Bethlehem? It was a time of great darkness. Malachi, the last book in the Old Testament, had been written. They're known as 400 years of the silent years. Imagine 400 years without hearing from God, hearing a prophet speak, having a book written, having something proclaimed. 400 years of quiet, silence. It should have caused the Jewish people, and it did, John chapter 1. John, are you that light? No, I'm not that light. He's that light. He's that light. John pointed them to Jesus, but they were looking for that light. Why? Because they'd had 400 years of silence. And all of a sudden, John shows up on the scene. Could this be the one? And then they crucified the one. 400 years. During that 400 years, it was a busy time. Politically, kingdoms had risen and fallen. But God was quiet. Major historical events. There were religious movements. Last week, we're in Matthew chapter 2. When the wise men came to Herod, Herod said to the religious crowd, where is he? Where is he to be born? And they said, well, everybody knows that, in Bethlehem of Judea, for thus it is written of the prophet. They knew right off top of their head. Why? And this is 30 years later. 30 years later, the birth of Christ comes, and they know that the Christ should be about beginning his ministry. Thus they thought, here's John, born about the same time as Jesus Christ. Here's John, and this has got to be the guy. It's got to be the guy. So they go seeking. The common people at this time were longing for hope. They were longing for a message from God. Mary and Joseph were listening. The shepherds were listening. We let us now go, Luke chapter 2, and see this thing which has come to pass. The wise men traveled. The wise men knew. And they traveled 2 years seeking the truth. I say again, that young man who said, I was raised with no church background, with no understanding of spiritual things, but I just knew there had to be something more out there. The wise men traveled 2 years to find the Christ child. But the religious elite in John chapter 1, John chapter 2, John chapter 3, we're unmoved. Curious, John chapter 3 is Nicodemus. Same came to Jesus by night, saying, good master, you know thou art a teacher. Come from God, for no man can do the miracles that thou doest except he be God. No, God be with him, what Nicodemus said. They were curious, they saw, but they didn't want to be illuminated. And again, in John chapter 3, Christ addressed that. Why? Because men love darkness rather than light, because their deeds were evil. The year was 536. It's just an interesting year. 536 has been said to be the darkest year of human history. What actually transpired is not known. But the event for there's an 18-month period in 536 that is documented in China, documented in Europe, documented in Japan and Korea and Africa and as far south as Australia, a time of great darkness where the sun was clouded. Scientists have written about it. You can go and you can read the history of it. It was 18 months where people thought the world was coming to an end, because the sun was shrouded, not completely, but it was like looking up and you're looking through a cloud, which is what they were, but not a white cloud and not a gray cloud. It was kind of a dusty brown cloud. And they surmised what had happened was a giant volcanic eruption, probably in Iceland, and that ash was in the atmosphere for upwards of 18 months before it completely dissipated and the sun came back. It was a time of great depression. It was a time of uncertainty. It was a time, it is said to be, this is quote, dubbed the worst year in history. But the worst thing in life is to die without Christ, die without illumination, to die not just in a sun and a moon whose light is shrouded, but to die in complete and utter darkness without Christ's salvation. Nothing can be in comparison to that. What is the worst year in history? I would say if in your life, it's not going to be 536. In your life, it's going to be dying without Christ. That is going to be the worst year in history for an individual. And it is going to be marked on a tombstone with that date. With that date. Do you know Christ? The light had arrived. Luke chapter 2, verse 8, we talked about that with the shepherds. The shepherds were in the dark, but they were illuminated. They were illuminated both physically, angels appeared, and spiritually. We must now go and see. We must now go and see. For me, that illumination took place when I was 19 years of age. I had been exposed to the light when I was a young person, but at 19 years of age, I received that light. Received Christ. Received that salvation. Matthew chapter 2, the Persian Magi. Where is he? For we have seen his star in the east, and we have traveled. We have come to worship him 2 years. They assumed. Certainly, if we saw his star, others saw his star. Certainly, if we've traveled 2 years to worship him, others here have been worshiping him for 2 years. Certainly, if we would travel all this way, bearing these gifts to see the Christ child, people who are right here would do that. And boy, and so they came to Herod. Hey, where is he that is born king of the Jews? For we have seen a star in the east, and we are come to worship him. And Herod's like, nobody told me about that. How could that be? That the Christ, the Lamb, the light has come. But the people closest, the people that had access to the truth, the people that knew, well, we know where he's going to be born, ignored the light. How is that even possible? They assumed wrong. And so they arrived in Jerusalem. They had the audience with Herod. They asked the question, where is he? Herod did not know. But the religious people did. They were just unmoved. The royalty was unmoved, the Herods. Now Herod is moved. He's moved by self-preservation. Let's kill. Find him and kill him. The desire to eliminate the threat. The religious elite were unmoved prior to them losing some of their followers to this light, to this Christ. And then they were moved to eliminate the threat to their corner on the market. Because Jesus had come to transform and lives were being transformed. His arrival was declared by God, that declaration. And John is making that declaration that light has come into the world. And it is a reminder to us today, even though the world may be dark, that darkness will not have the last word. Darkness will not be successful in eliminating the light. Jesus Christ is light. So in the summertime, summer solstice, we're a little bit farther north than you are here. And so in the summertime, at 10:15 at night, you could still be out with the kids playing softball. We'd have enough light in the summertime. Of course, here we've got all these buildings and trees and the mountains to the west, and it seems to be darker here, but where it is in the land of flatness, 10:15 at night, again, we were still outside in the summertime playing ball. It was a shame you had to wait in the summertime. You had to wait till 10:30 at night to play hide and seek because it just wasn't dark enough to play hide and seek. But there are two places in the world during the summer solstice, Thule, Greenland, Tromsø, Norway, where in the summer solstice, you look at the chart. There is no sunrise, there is no sunset, because they have light 24 hours a day. Isn't that neat? I don't know, I guess unless you're trying to sleep. In Fairbanks, Alaska, the sunset on the summer solstice is 00:52. That's 8 minutes before 1 o'clock in the morning. That's when the sun sunsets, just before 1 a.m. And the sun rises at 2:56, Fairbanks, Alaska. That's a lot of light. 21 hours, 56 minutes of light. But here's a powerful truth. Jesus Christ is the light, and he is impossible to ignore. Just impossible. And what does the light do? The light gives an invitation. There are those in religious circles today that think an invitation should never be given. Invitation is biblical. The shepherds were given an invitation. They had to choose whether or not to respond. They got up and they went. We must now go. We must. It is imperative that we go see, that we respond to this invitation. The wise men, the Persian magi of Matthew 2, were given an invitation. They saw the light, and that light brings with it an invitation. And again, that responding to that invitation took them 2 years of a journey across the world. Shepherds had an angelic messenger. And somebody said to me just recently, "Preacher, if God would send me an angel, then I would respond." And what did you do? I went, "Here I am." Because of an angel. An angel is a messenger. And you go to the book of Revelation, you find that there were seven angels to seven churches. I was talking about the pastor. Pastor's an angel. Here I am. And I tell you what, I was not what they were hoping for. Now, they did not see that they were looking for, they did not say that they were looking for a better looking angel. I think they did not say, but you could just tell in their eyes, I was like, you are not the angel I'm looking for. They were looking for something with wings, maybe with a halo, maybe dressed in white. I'm thinking about getting a white suit. I'm not thinking about getting a white suit. But a messenger is an angel. Shepherds responded. The truth of the matter is, it's not an angel that they need. It's a heart that is not ruled by the darkness. Mary and Joseph left the comfort of their home, of their existence, and responded to the message of hope. And the Persian wise men responded at great expense and great effort to cross the world seeking out salvation. And we live in a day and age of easy travel. You can get out your phone right now and you can make a reservation right where you sit to fly on an airline. To go anywhere around the world. And you can be there in hours. Whereas it took the wise men years to make that journey. And you could make it. You could be anywhere in the world today. You could make the reservations. Someone would fly you there. You could do that. Easy travel. What are we? We are without excuse. So the question is, and the question we pose to others, are you seeking? Are you interested? Or do you love darkness? Because Christmas is more than a date on a calendar. Christmas is an event that changed the world, where God sent his only begotten Son, Jesus Christ, into the world to die for you. It is a moment when heaven touched the earth. Christ touched the earth. In the stillness of the night, God sent Jesus Christ, the light, John said, which is the true light. Raise your right hand and be sworn. Do you affirm, tell the truth, the whole truth, and nothing but the truth under penalty of law? I do. State your name and be seated. I, John, bear record. He is the true light, which lighteth every man that cometh into the world, came to die for you. This morning, the question that we entertain is, will have you received that light? If you have not received that light, will you receive that light that lighteth every man that comes into the world? It is a most powerful invitation of all time. John gave an invitation. The shepherds received an invitation. The wise men received an invitation. Mary and Joseph received an invitation, and they responded. Nicodemus in John chapter 3 received an invitation, and he chose to, for a time at least, keep Christ at arm's length. It is personal. It is intimate. Will you hear? Will you believe? Will you repent? Will you confess? It's interesting. Those two statements came as a result of a search that I did this week. I sat down at the computer and I typed this in. I said, what is the greatest invitation of all time? And artificial intelligence said, the greatest invitation of all time is the invitation of the Bible. It is a personal invitation. It is an intimate invitation. It is a call to, this is artificial intelligence. It is a call to hear. It is a call to believe. It is a call to repent. It is a call to confess. I'll just say, we are without excuse. The heavens declare the glory of God, and the firmament showeth his handiwork. Day unto day other speech, night unto night showed his knowledge. There is no speech nor language where his voice is not heard. And we are without excuse. To know Christ, and then to live as light bearers, you have been called. Called to carry the light, called to be a torchbearer, to let your light so shine that people would see Jesus. Where should we shine? Well, in the sky to those far away, in the field to those isolated, in the rural areas, in the city to those packed into the urban spaces, in locked communities and high rises. Brother Mike, acts of kindness, words of truth, moments of grace, reflections of Christ. If you're in darkness, the invitation is to come to the light. Father, I thank you for your word. Thank you for the opportunity to share that this morning, to show you as light. And I pray that you would do a work in our hearts, those that know you as their Savior, that they would strive to be light. Those that are in darkness, that they would come to the light, for they are truly, in this day and age, in this day of technology, they are truly without excuse. With every head bowed and every eye closed, you're here this morning. Say, preacher, I do not know Jesus Christ as my Savior. Pray for me. I do not know. Raise your hand. Let me pray for you. Say, preacher, you know us all here this morning. I do. Say, preacher, you've heard all of our testimonies this morning. I'm looking around the room. I have. But it's a great invitation, is it not? Say, preacher, would you pray for me this Christmas season that I would be a reflection of the light of Jesus Christ? God would help me to be a light shining to others in the McDonald's, in the marketplace, where I go. And let me pray for you. Father, I thank you for those that desire to be light. I pray that you would help us to shine, to reflect your goodness, your grace, your salvation, your mercy, to engage others in conversation, to point them to the light. Whether that be at a McDonald's waiting in line or an aisle 11 at Lowe's, may we be faithful to reflect the light of our glorious Savior, Jesus Christ. With every head bowed and every eye closed, I have you stand to your feet. The piano's playing.